No, guys, we're in a series called The Greater Whole. And it's really going to be what we're talking about is about what it means to be a church and to be a part of a church. Because when you talk about a church is not the building. It's not the incorporated organization with the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. It's not even, quote, even the totality of its membership. The church is people. People. You. You're the church. And whether this building was here or not, hopefully there would still be a church. Because it's a group of people who gather together in the name of Jesus Christ to worship Him and serve Him and minister to each other. And that's why we're here. That's why we exist. Now the problem is, we get confused, to be honest with you, deceived concerning what church is and what it means to be a part of the church. And so that's why we're doing this series. Because we want to see that you understand one important thing. And here's the important thing that I want you to understand. If you want to write this down, you can write this down. You are an important part of the church. Do you hear what I said? You are an important part of the church. Period. Everybody. Doesn't matter what your education level is. Doesn't matter what your income level is. Whether you're working or not working. Whether you're retired or not retired. Whether you're disabled or not disabled. It doesn't matter about any of that. Doesn't matter what your past is. What kind of problems you've had. What kind of problems you're going through now. What kind of struggles you've had or what kind of difficulties, it doesn't matter. You are an important part of the church. Do you understand what I'm saying? You need to understand that. You need to grasp it. You are an important part of the church. That's what the whole purpose of this series is. To see that you understand that you are a part of the greater whole. And who we are as a church is based not upon who the preacher is, how the music is, what the building looks like. Who we are as a church is based upon who you are. Who you are as a people. Now, here's the thing I want you to understand. Before we get into it today, we're going to talk about grace. We're going to talk about gifted by grace. We're going to talk about an aspect that you need to understand as far as your role here. But before we get to that, we really need to basically grasp the problem that we have with our thinking because of the church culture. So that's what we're going to do. I'm going to point out two things about church culture. The first thing I want you to see about church culture, and this is true, this has probably been true in our church, it's true in a lot of churches, and it's really a difficult thing, and the problem is it affects us the way we think. Here's the thing. As with most social circles, there's a pecking order in church. You know what a pecking order is? You know what I'm saying? If you drive down out of Kerwinsville here and you're heading towards Grampian, you'll see the farm market over here, Lettuce Farm Market, and you see all those chickens. So, you know, ever paid attention? I've got a son who works there, so sometimes while I'm waiting for him to get off, I'm looking around at those chickens, and it's very obvious that there are some chickens that are just flat out mean. Why? Because I've watched some walk by and they no longer have any tail feathers. Do you know what I'm saying? And so obviously something got after them. You know what I'm saying? And then you find out it was other chickens. And what were they doing? They were establishing what? A pecking order. Now, here's the thing. The sad thing is that in church, we have a culture today in a lot of churches in North America where we have, whether we like it or not, we have a pecking order in church, don't we? There are, quote, people who are higher in the food chain, and then there's everybody else. And if you're one of everybody else, it would seem like the only purpose in you coming is, well, we'll talk about that in a moment. And a lot of times it seems like you can't rise up. And for some, you thought, well, that's virtually impossible because I messed up. Or I've got this problem or this happened in my life and now I'm no longer able to be a part of it. Do you understand? We have this concept of a pecking order in church, and we reduce it down to, listen to me, officers and positions. We reduce it down to officers and positions. What do you mean by that, officers? Well, because we're an organization, we have officers. But they tend to be biblical offices, so we reduce it down to, well, who's the pastor? Who's the elders? Who's the trustees? In some churches, it might be, who's the deacons? And we reduce it down to that. So, can I be a part of that? Or, am I a Sunday school teacher? That's the big one, right? Everybody wants you to be a Sunday school teacher. Can you teach? Welcome to Sunday school. Or can I do this? Or am I an usher? And so, and then when all the positions are filled, the pecking order is filled, everybody else says, well, what am I supposed to do? How do I fit in this? See, as with most social circles, there's a pecking order. Have you noticed that when I say social circles, that's true of anything, whether it's any kind of social club around town? There is a pecking order, right? That's just how we function. The sad thing is that's not the way it's supposed to be in church. But that's part of the church culture. Here's the second thing. Like it or not, value is assessed based upon one's contribution to the church. Like it or not, value is assessed based upon one's contribution to the church. Now, when I say contribution, I'm not just talking about money. Because first of all, we don't talk about money here, but value can be assessed in a church not just based upon how much you're giving, but can be based upon how much you're contributing as far as time. How much you're contributing as far as your abilities. How much you're contributing as far as what you're giving to the church, not just in a monetary sense, but in any kind of a sense. And if you have some folks who give more of their time, of their treasure, of their talent, it seems like they have more value in the church than somebody who maybe doesn't have the time anymore, or maybe doesn't have the financial resources or any kind of resources to give, or doesn't have any talents. You know what I'm saying? So like when we have a song service, can I just be flat out honest with you? I feel pretty insignificant here. Why? Two reasons. Number one, I can't sing. And number two, I don't play an instrument. And they mute me for on purpose. Okay, no, but so I feel very insignificant. And some of you are like, yeah, I can relate. I can relate. But okay, let's take the laughing aside, George, about music. Maybe you feel insignificant in the church because you can't contribute in some way. You have no resources to do that. Or you don't feel like it would be accepted because you view yourself based upon a past problem, mistake, sin. Isn't that the church culture? Let's stop for a moment. These two things that I'm talking about here, that there's this perceived pecking order and value is assessed based on one's contribution. Isn't that true? Isn't that the church culture? Does that not affect us as far as our what? Involvement in the church. In fact, sometimes it seems like, and I mentioned this last week, it seems like we have this pecking order, we have this value that's assessed to certain people. The rest of you, this is the culture, the rest of you, we just want you to attend, fill the seat, and contribute what you can. And for some, surely there's got to be a whole lot more than that. Do you know what I'm saying? Let's stop for a moment. Would you agree with me that Jesus probably had something else more in mind than the way that we do church today? Would you agree with that? That Jesus had something else more in mind than the way that we do church today? I can almost guarantee you he does. But it seems like we're not really worried about that. We continue in the culture that we have. What I'm hoping to do is to be honest with you through this series, is I'm hoping that we break the culture here at our church. I'm hoping that we would recognize that's not the way we should be. In fact, I'll be honest with you, as I was thinking about the message this morning, I thought to myself, you know, George, you're going to have to change the way you say things. Because the way you say things is only reinforcing the culture that you want to break. Like, for instance, here's what I normally would say to you if you weren't here. Let's say you missed a few Sundays. Hey, how you doing? Glad to see you. Hey, we missed you at church. How many of you have said something like that? We've missed you at church. Can I tell you that's wrong? Can I tell you that that only reinforces the culture? When you tell somebody, we missed you at church, that's saying we miss them with whatever the culture is. Taking a seat, contributing, doing whatever. I had to come to the place where, and it's going to take me a while to get to change because I'm 50 years old and I'm getting stubborn, but I'm going to have to change the way that I talk. And here's what I've got to say now. Instead of saying I missed you at church, I've got to say this now. We miss having you as a part of the church. Isn't that different? See, you're a part of the church. Not at church, but a part of it. You say, that's just really nitpicking, George. What are you talking about? No, I'm not nitpicking. It's really, listen to me, you got to think about it. It's a concept of church. When I say I miss you, we miss seeing you at church. The church is the big thing. The building, the structure, the service. That's what that's communicating. When I say to you, we miss having you as a part of the church, that's putting the emphasis on the importance of who? You. And every one of you is what? Important. Did you understand what I'm saying? You're important. Now, whether you believe that or not, hopefully by the end of this message, you'll be able to grasp that. So let's look at Let's look at Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 3 through 8 today. And we're going to see how you and I are gifted by grace. That you and I have been gifted by grace. And we're going to talk about and explain to you what that means today. Look with me. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having the gifts differing according to the grace that was given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Here's what we're going to do, folks. We're going to take this few verses here. We're going to take these five verses, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at a proper perspective. We're going to see that in verse 3. And then we're going to talk about a diverse unity. Diverse unity. Let's talk about a proper perspective. First of all, first thing I want you to look with me at verse 3. For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Here's what I want you to see. Number one, we need to be realistic about our assessment of ourselves. We need to be realistic about our assessment of ourselves. See, here's the thing. You and I struggle from a common problem. All of us have the same disease. I knew we shouldn't have come to church today. You were coughing on us. No. All of us have the same disease, folks, and it's not the common cold. Here's what I want you to see. All of us have this same problem. Here's the same problem. We all struggle with pride. Pride. And every single one of you here, including myself, has a tendency to think too highly of themselves. Well, no, George, I try not to. No, there's somebody you think you're better than. Trust me, there's somebody you think you're better than. How do you know that? Because you're human. And we sometimes think too highly of ourselves. And so here he is. He's coming along and he's saying to you, look, if you're going to understand your place in the church, you need to be realistic about who you are. You need to be realistic about the fact of your assessment of yourselves, that you are, listen to me, no different than anybody else here. There was nothing special about you when Jesus saved you. You were special to him, but there was nothing beyond that. He could have saved somebody else. It's not your education level. It's not any of this. It's not how long you've been saved, what positions you have. See, if we're going to break the culture, if we're going to break the concept of a pecking order, you need to recognize that all of us, listen, all of us are the same. Now, that's hard to grasp. Because we live in a culture, we live in a society where there is a pecking order. There is a pecking order at work. There is a pecking order in the community. There's even a pecking order in your family, is it not? You know, we like to joke. Maddie's not here, so I'll joke on Maddie. Maddie, it rules the roost when Maddie is home. Why? Because she is the firstborn. She was there first. She's in charge. And we have to remind her, no, you're not in charge of us either, Maddie. Pecking orders are part of life, aren't they? But when it comes to church, you need to, Paul is saying, listen to me, we need to be realistic about our assessment of ourselves. Here's what I want you to see. Second thing here. My value is based on the measure of faith that God gave me. All right, don't you listen to me. This is a powerful truth that you need to grasp a hold of. Your value in the church is not based upon the stuff you think it's based on. Your value in the church is not based upon even your failures. And we have them, don't we? We have regrets. Your value in God's eyes is not based upon any of that. Your value, listen to me, according to this passage, according to verse 3, is based upon the measure of faith that God gave you. Now let me just stop for a moment. Think about that for a moment. Did you do anything to determine how big that measure of faith was? No. Got a few willing people to say no. Some of you are like, what? No, you didn't do anything. It was a gift of grace from God. Your value of who you are in this church, listen to me, write this down. Your value in this church is purely based upon the value God gave to you. Not what someone else determines. You know what I'm saying? Think about it for a moment. Think about it. I want you to think about this. This happens in church. This happens in any kind of social circle. Some of you, if you have to kind of relate, think back to being in high school. Remember the peer thing in high school and the cliques and all of that and being accepted or not accepted and everything. And that was like traumatic back then. And you're like, man, I'm glad that's over. But then you found out that life's like that, right? And so we have, if you look at the way we have life in general, that's, value is assessed on so many different things. Education, job, money, what kind of vehicle you live in, what part of the town you live in, or whether or not you live in town or not. Whether you're divorced or not, how your kids are, you even base yourself based upon how your kids are doing. Isn't that true? And we carry that into the church. We carry that into the church and we think, listen to me, we think that our usefulness and our being a part of the church can only be in accordance to what all that other stuff is. Now you understand why he says not to think too highly of yourselves? He's talking about humility. Because the value you have, the value you have in the church, is the value that God gave you. Is that not awesome? Is that not awesome? That the lowly could come in and say, I am somebody because of Jesus. Is that not awesome? That's what you need and I need to understand. That's the perspective we need to have. We need to think soberly as God dealt to each one a measure of faith. That's what he's saying here. So let's talk about it for a moment. So we've got this proper perspective. Let's talk about the diverse unity here. Do you understand? We're unified as a church, but can I be honest with you? We're definitely not the same. So like, okay, today's the big day. What do you mean the big day? It's the Battle of Pennsylvania today. Don't you know that? What big game's going on today? Steelers and some bird team, right? Okay. Eagle. All right. Sorry, Bruce. Okay. Now some of you are going to be watching that game and you're going to be rooting for who? Okay, I thought I would hear somebody say Eagles, okay? But there are others here who are going to be rooting for who?
Eagles!
All right, Eagles, okay. Now listen to me. Aren't you glad? No, George, I'm not glad. This should all be rooting for Ben. No, listen to me. Aren't you glad? For the diversity. Because it would be one boring place if we were all the same, would it not? It would be pretty boring. But somehow we've got this concept that we all need to be the same. And so that's, can I be honest with you, that's all just part of the church culture, but we want to blow the church culture up, don't we? So listen. Here's what diverse unity is. Verse 4, he says this, for as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. Here's what I want you to see. Like a body, the church is made up of members with different functions. When you look at your body, you're not all a foot. You're not all an armpit, are you? Thank goodness, right? You're not all a big eyeball. You are made up of different parts. And each part has its own function. Is that not true? We're actually going, as we get further into the study, when we get into 1 Corinthians, we're going to see that even some of the hidden parts are more important than the outward parts. And you know that from science. You know that from everyday life. Like, for instance, one of the hidden parts we have is a heart. Now, who can live here without a heart? Nobody. Or your liver. Or your stomach. You know what I'm saying? We all of our parts are important. Now listen. So like a body, the church is made up of members with different functions. All right, so here's what I want you to say. I want you to think about this. You are important because you have something to offer. That's the second thing I want you to write down. You are important because you have something to offer. If you are part of the body called the church, you are important because you have something to offer. Every single one of you. Here's the second thing I want you to see on the board here. The church is unified through its diversity. The church is unified through its diversity. Look at what it says, verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Now here's what I want you to see. I want you to hear me. You're probably not going to hear this anywhere else, but I want you to hear it here. Our unity is not based upon whether or not we think alike, act alike, or even look alike. Our unity is based upon, are you ready for this? How different we are. That's reality. Our unity is based upon our differences. So let me just stop for a moment.